America is now under martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorney. Shut up. Do not attempt to think or depression may occur. Stay in your home. Curfew is at 7 p.m. sharp after work. Anyone caught outside the gates of their subdivision sectors after curfew will be shot. Remain calm. Do not panic. Your neighborhood watch officer will be by to collect urine samples in the morning. Anyone caught interfering with the collection of urine samples will be shot. Stay in your home. Remain calm. The number one enemy of progress is question. National security is more important than individual will. All sports broadcasts will proceed as normal. No more than two people may gather anywhere without permission. Use only the drugs prescribed by your boss or supervisor. Shut up! Be happy! Obey all orders without question. The comfort you've demanded is now mandatory. Be happy. At last, everything is done for you.
Welcome back. You're still listening to the Freedom Ministry on RBN. I am your host, Chris Switzer. I want to thank RBN from the bottom of my heart for allowing me to speak the truth on these airwaves. I know that they're going to be met with opposition. The controllers, the powers behind the secret world revolutionary movement do not like this being brought to light. For they are the masters of darkness. And like cockroaches, they scurry when the light is shined on them. But I have no choice. I've made my bed, I've chosen my side. I side with God. I side with truth. I won't have it any other way. And the speech that you just heard from the rabbi conference, rabbinical conference in 1952 in Budapest, speaks volumes. They want World War III, and they want it now. But the most illuminating feature of the speech is the fact that it discloses the manner in which the Illuminati use a Jewish rabbi to convince other co-religionists that they will be the governing class in the New World Order. And the author says, a fact that past history would indicate is very doubtful. Satanism, not the Jews, will rule. But I want to say this. If you're practicing Talmudism, which is at the core, the law, the doctrine of Judaism, are you not practicing Satanism? Undoubtedly, yes. That's what I've learned. I thought that was outlandish years ago. I know it to be true today. And they will, if they can, use Christian democracy against communism or Bolshevism to bring about the next phase of their long-range plan. Drum roll, please. World War III. World War III. We were warned by Jesus. Yahweh made God, made himself in the flesh. Revelation 2:9 says, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Judahites, And they are not, but they are a synagogue of Satan. They pretend to be the chosen people of God and say they are, but they are not, for they are liars. For they are the children of the adversary, who is the father of lies, Satan. As I read from John chapter 8, verse 44, it said plain, "You are of your father, the adversary, and the desires of your father you are wanting to do. He was a man killer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, for the truth is not in him. Whenever he may be speaking a lie, he is speaking of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And that, my friends, encapsulates exactly what I'm trying to impart upon you, the truth that Jesus spoke to the Pharisees or the Jews of his time when he was on earth in the flesh. This Satanist conspiracy has subverted mankind, and it's well over 3,000 years old. As we just read from Rabbi Rabinovich speaking to his fellow co-religionist in Budapest in 1952. 130 years before Jesus was born, there was a final battle with the Edomites who lived in the neighboring land, Edomia, Edom, to Judea. The Judahites won, but their chiefs had become so estranged from God's law that they stupidly forced the Edomites to convert to the Judean religion at sword point, circumcisions and all. Thus began a pattern of false identity that has been seen through their successors, the Sabbatean Frankist Illuminati, and infiltrate and subvert all nations and all organizations, because at their core, behind closed doors in the temples without windows, they all practice the mystery religion, which is Satanism. They are the rebels. They hate God. They hate God. And they will tell you, my friends, that this book is a Jewish book. So why would we read a Jewish book, right? And why do we worship a rabbi on a cross? That's what I'm told all the time. It's a blasphemy. Just like there are other blasphemies from their Talmud, which is the religious doctrine of Judaism, which states that our Savior, Jesus, is boiling in excrement for eternity, and that he was just a rabble-rouser and got what he deserved when they murdered him on that tree, and he finished his work of the cross, which you just heard last hour, the Pope, the apostate Pope, state brazenly, as if it came out of the serpent's mouth himself, that Jesus' life ended in failure, the failure of the cross. How dare he? How dare he? He better read Matthew chapter 12, verse 31 and 32, the unpardonable sin, blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. I warn you, you apostates, you Edomites, you Satanists, you Canaanites, repent, go to God. I'm taking a diversion here and reading from The Sheep and the Goats, from the complete works of the late Pastor Bertrand L. Comparé. Today, our newspapers, radio, television, every media of public communications are turned into a propaganda machine, flooding us with red-inspired propaganda against all discrimination. They demand complete integration of all races, first in the cafes and hotels, then in the schools, and finally in the churches. They have induced fellow traveler clergymen, which today are mostly Judaized pulpit prostitutes. Most are rabbis, straight up, to preach integration from their pulpits. Though first they denied it, these propagandists now admit that intermarriage and mongrelization of the races is their real purpose. And this was written years and years ago. Today it's very obvious. Sometimes they try to justify their activities by preaching false doctrines of so-called universal brotherhood of man and fatherhood of God. Of all satanic false doctrines, this is one of the worst. It is completely contrary to the Bible, to the Word, which always teaches division and segregation of the races. And it's not just to be mean or hateful, folks. There are good reasons for everything Father Yahweh teaches. Jesus always said that he had come to divide and separate, not to mix everyone together. In Matthew chapter 25, 31 through 33, he says, quote, "And then the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left." Note that this is not the judgment of individual persons, but a division and separation of nations. He goes on to tell how the sheep nations are given the kingdom prepared for them from the foundation of the world, while the goat nations are cast into the fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Who are these nations? A sheep nation can only be a nation made up of sheep, and a goat nation, one consisting of goats. Therefore, let's find out who are the sheep. You who have listened to these lessons for some time know the Israel of the Bible, Yahweh's chosen people, exist today in the Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Germanic nations, not the modern Jews. We have proven this many times and need not repeat it now. It should not surprise you to learn that Yahweh's chosen people, whom he called Israel, Jacob's descendants, constitute the sheep nations, as the Bible says. For example, Psalm 103, quote, "We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Jeremiah 50, verse 6 confirms this. "My people hath been lost sheep, and their shepherds have caused them to go astray." Ezekiel chapter 34 promises, "Behold, I, even I, will both search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith Yahweh, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats." Fulfilling these words, Jesus said that this was his mission in Matthew chapter 15, verse 24, quote, "I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And Israel, meaning God's people, not the abomination of desolation that you find in Palestine today, occupying the land, calling themselves Israel. They're imposters. They're Edomites, Canaanites, wicked children of perdition. He taught his disciples this was to be their purpose also. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 6, we read, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." A sheep is a sheep by its nature, its race, and it can't become a goat by straying away from the flock. The goats run with the flock, but that can't make sheep out of them. You can't make a sheep out of a goat, and Jesus never tried to. As you already know, The Jews are not any part of Israel, and never were. Therefore, Jesus never tried to make converts of them. To the contrary, he always taught among them in public using parables, which they could not understand. But Jesus explained the parables privately to his disciples, who were Israelites, lest one, Judas Iscariot, who was not a true Israelite. Interesting. He stated his reason for this in Mark chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of Yahweh, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see but not perceive, and hearing they may hear but not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins be forgiven them. Accordingly, Jesus told the Jews in John chapter 10, 26 through 28, But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, My sheep hear my voice. Jesus warned all Christians not to try to give the blessings of his kingdom to people who couldn't understand and appreciate it. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, he commanded, Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn and rend you. But we always have to try and show him how much better we are than he is, so we always violate his commandments. It's a shame, but we always fall short of that holy perfection that Jesus, Emmanuel, showed us when he came in the flesh. But that was the work of the cross. We are redeemed, brethren. The pearls Yahweh has given us are freedom, wealth, and power. We cast them before the jungle savages of the Congo and the murderous hordes of China. As he warned us, they trample our gifts in the mud of their evil desires and then turn upon us to destroy us. The Jews know this well. As you heard again, I hearken back to that Budapest speech from Rabbi Rabinovich in 1952. He turns nation against nation using this very premise. We give that which is holy, our Christian religion, which the savages can no more understand than they can astronomical mathematics, to those who Jesus calls dogs, and the natural, inevitable result is the many Christian missionaries in China are already murdered or slowly dying in prison. Many Christian missionaries are fleeing the Congo to escape being eaten. And again, this was written decades ago. Do you think that we were supposed to convert the entire world? Men have said that, but Yahweh said to the contrary. In John chapter 17, verse 9, Jesus said, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said that he is the bread of life. In Matthew 15, 22 through 28, when the Syrophoenician woman asked his help as son of David, the head of Yahweh's people Israel, he refused. He told her it was not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Not until she recognized she could not approach him as one of his people and said, Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table, did he then grant her request. Don't go anywhere, folks. We have much to learn and much to go over. Stay tuned.
Gather anywhere without permission. Use only the drug prescribed by your boss or supervisor. Shut up! Be happy! Obey all orders without question. The comfort you've demanded is now...
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
We interrupt this program with a special bulletin. America is now under martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorneys. Shut up. Do not attempt.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Freedom Ministry on RBN. I'm still your host, Chris Switzer. I'm going to read part of a Davidic Psalm 62, verse 8, before I finish up here. Trust in him at all times, people. Pour out your heart before him. Elohim is our refuge. Yahweh is our refuge. As I say always, go to God. Go to God. I'm reading from the complete works of Bertrand Comparé. Bertrand Comparé, The Sheep and the Goats, page 50 of the PDF. The blessings of peace, good government, education, sanitation, good health, prosperity, and civilization can be given to those who are of other races, of course. It is not to be given to those who would seize it for themselves, saying, "We are just as much sheep as you are. We make ourselves sheep by saying so." They must recognize Yahweh's own order of things. He gives his commandments and his instructions on how to obtain his blessings to his people, Israel. We are to obey his commandments, and demonstrate to the world how obedience to him has made us the have nations compared to the pagan have not nations. If they will come to us for instruction in his laws, we who are his witnesses will instruct them, and they can grow into civilizations as far and as fast as they will obey. The problem? Not many are obeying. Not even his own people. It's a big problem. Russia and China have taken only our manufacturing technology, not our religion or our ideals. They have learned to make tanks, cannons, bombs, and bayonets, but the brutal, tyrannical horror they have in their lands is not civilization by any standard. Goats cannot become sheep. Yahweh's truth is eternal. It never changes with the times and fashions. His word is still true today, as he told the prophet in Amos chapter 3, verse 2. You only have I known of all families of the earth. It is still true, as Isaiah 63, 17 through 19 says, O Yahweh, why hast thou made us to err from the ways and harden our hearts from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake the tribes of thy inheritance. The people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are thine. Thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name. Do you think this will ever change? No, for in the book of Revelation, Yahweh has given us a picture of the new Jerusalem, the eternal city of Yahweh, coming into existence to last forever. This is after the millennium, and he says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 12, this city is surrounded by a wall, great and high, and 12 gates, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. There is only one way to enter into that city. It is to go in through a gate, and the only gates are the 12 tribes of Israel. We are told in Revelation chapter 22, verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Don't apologize for being one of Yahweh's sheep, a citizen of a sheep nation. Be proud of it, be worthy of it, and walk rejoicing in your destiny. You are a child of God. And once and for all, folks, the Bible is not a Jewish book. Even those who should know better that we Christians owe a debt to the Jews for we got our Bible and our religion from them commonly make that statement. Men from the pulpit make that statement. While many people have been deceived into believing this, it is completely false. Part of the mistake comes from the complete confusion in the minds of nearly all people as to just what they mean by Jew. Are they referring to a people of a certain race, or are they referring to a people of a certain religion? For the two are not the same. There are in Africa today some pure-blooded Negroes who are Jews by religion, and there are in China today some pure-blooded Mongolians who are Jews by religion. Likewise, there are some people today who are racially of the stock we know as Jews, but who have converted to other religions. First, let's consider the claim that we got our Bible and our religion from the Jews, as meaning Jews by religion. It is certain we didn't get the New Testament from them, for it condemns the Jewish religion throughout the whole New Testament. But did we get the Old Testament from them? No, for several reasons. In the first place, no Jew by religion existed before the return from the Babylonian captivity, which I said earlier, shortly after 536 BC. Their great historian Josephus writes, so the Jews prepared the work. Jew is the name they are called by from the day that they came up from Babylon. The only books of the Old Testament that were written after the return from Babylon are Kings, Chronicles, Ezra, and Nehemiah, all of them historical rather than doctrinal, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. In none of these do the Jews receive anything but rebuke for their wickedness, for their apostasy from the religion of the Old Testament. The late Rabbi Stephen F. Weiss, one of the foundational Zionist Jews in the formation of Israel from America, formerly the chief rabbi of the United States, said, quote, "The return from Babylon and the introduction of the Babylonian Talmud mark the end of Hebrewism and the beginning of Judaism." End quote. Says it all. The learned rabbi was correct in distinguishing the true religion of the Old Testament as Hebrewism, for it was the religion of the real Hebrews, who were not Jews at all. Judaism, the religion of the Jews, is, as the learned rabbi says, based upon the Babylonian Talmud, which contains the supposed oral law. It was never reduced to writing as part of the Bible. This oral law gradually gained greater force among the Jews than the written law of the Bible, with which it often conflicted. In Jesus' day, the Babylonian Talmud was known as the tradition of the elders. This is why Jesus told the Jews in Mark chapter 7, verses 6 through 13, quote, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of Yahweh, that ye may keep your own tradition, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which ye have delivered." And then in Matthew chapter 22:29, "Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of Yahweh." Matthew 23:23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithes of mint, anise, and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith." This was the religion of the Jews. As the learned rabbi Stephen F. Weiss said, Judaism, as distinguished from Hebrewism, the real religion of the Old Testament. Certainly Christianity took nothing from any Jewish religion, for we have never taken any part of Christianity from the Talmud. Naturally, the Jews didn't give us the New Testament either, for it completely repudiates and condemns the Jewish religion of the Talmud. Can it be said that we got our Bible or our religion of Christianity from men of the Jewish race? No, it cannot. I haven't the time in the remainder of this lesson to give the Bible evidence in detail. I will have to reserve that for a later lesson. It can be clearly proven, both out of historical books of the Bible and out of the only thorough history of the times, written by one living when the facts were still well known. Josephus's Antiquities of the Jews tells that the Jews were a people distinct and separate from Yahweh's people Israel, although living among them, as they always have. The Jews were the Canaanite people who lived in Palestine before Israel entered the Promised Land, and who were not driven out. These Canaanite people and the mixed offspring from intermarriage with the Israelites were allowed to remain in the land while paying heavy tribute taxes. And we suffer the consequences of that today. The prophets who wrote the books of the Old Testament were all of pure Israelite stock from one or another of the 12 tribes of Israel. Moses, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Habakkuk, Haggai, and Zechariah were of the tribe of Levi. Joshua and Samuel were of the tribe of Ephraim. Isaiah, Daniel, and Zephaniah were of the house of David. Jonah was of the tribe of Zebulun. Hosea was of the tribe of Issachar. When the Assyrians conquered and deported the people of the 10 northern tribes, the Bible records that the Assyrians brought other people in from the Assyrian Empire and settled them in Samaria, in place of the Israelites that they had deported. Samaria is only the southern half of the territory occupied by those 10 northern tribes. The northern half was Galilee, and this was left vacant, empty. When the kingdom of Judah was later deported to Babylon for their 70 years captivity, their land was left with very little population. While they were gone, the Edomites, who were descendants of Esau, who Yahweh hated, despised, mixed with Canaanite people, were forced out of their own land by pressure of invading Arab tribes and moved westward into the vacant lands of Judah, occupying the southern half of the former kingdom of Judah. Therefore, when a portion of the two tribes of Judah and Benjamin returned from the Babylonian captivity, they were too few in numbers to drive out the warlike Edomites and had to try to squeeze into the very little territory they had left. It was too small for them. So what was left of the tribe of Judah took the little territory remaining around Jerusalem, and Benjamin was pushed to the north. They could not move next door into Samaria, as the people the Assyrians had settled there occupied this area. Benjamin had to leapfrog over them into the vacant territory of Galilee. And you all know about Galilee from the New Testament. That the apostles and the majority of Christian converts came from the Benjamites should not surprise us. When the kingdom was split into two upon the death of Solomon, Yahweh said he would leave Benjamin with Judah, so the house of David should have a light before them. In the New Testament, all the apostles were of the tribe of Benjamin, except Judas Iscariot, the only Jew among them. Judas came from the village of Kerioth in southern Judea. Iscariot is a corruption of Ishkarioth, man of Kerioth. Paul tells us that he was of the tribe of Benjamin, and all the other apostles except Judas Iscariot were from Galilee, where the tribe of Benjamin settled after the return from Babylon. Jesus confirms this in Matthew chapter 15, verse 24, when he said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In John chapter 10, Jesus tells the Jews, quote, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." From the Savior's own lips, we have the proof that the Jews are not of the tribes of Israel. Note carefully, he does not say that their unbelief keeps them from being his sheep. He says the exact opposite, that the reason why they do not believe is that they are not of his sheep, the house of Israel. Christianity and Judaism are completely and irreconcilably inconsistent. Whichever one is right, the other must be wrong, for they mutually repudiate each other. What side are you on? Who are you? Who is your God? A great part of Jesus' reported words are his denunciation of the Jews for their religion, which he tells them is not that of the Old Testament. In John chapter 5, verse 46, Jesus told the Jews, quote, "Had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me." In Luke 16:31, Jesus said, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one rose from the dead." He was right. He did rise from the dead, but to this day they are not persuaded. It is therefore clear we did not get either our Bible or our Christian religion, either in whole or in part, from those who were Jews, either by religion or by race. Therefore, we owe them no debt, for they gave us nothing. In fact, less than nothing, for they killed our Savior, which the Pope said was the failure of Jesus' life, humanly speaking, the failure of the cross. So wicked. So wrong. But what do you expect from the wicked sons of perdition? The synagogue of Satan. Now I'm going right back to the reading from Pawns in the Game, William Guy Carr's book, published in 1958, and we're on page 119 of the PDF. Under the terms of the Treaty of Versailles in 1919, the international bankers obtained control over Germany's military rearmament and her economic recovery. This accomplished, they entered into the Abmachung, agreement in German, with the German high command. They agreed to have the Soviets secretly supply the German generals with all the arms and munitions they required for a modern army of several million. They also undertook to have the Soviet dictator place complete training facilities at the disposal of the Germans to enable them to train the number of commissioned and non-commissioned officers they would require to officer the new army they planned to bring into being when they considered the time was ripe. The vast building projects required to put the terms of the Abmachungens, or the agreement, into effect were financed by the international bankers. They thus enabled both communist and fascist countries to build up their economy and war potentials. And you learn, of course, that Ford Motor, Standard Oil, were big, big, big helps in that regard, building one of the biggest plants over in the Soviets in Russia to create weapons of war that were then be used against the Americans. Ridiculous, but guess why? Because it wasn't Americans at the helm. It was the international Jews. They hate you. They want you dead. Or to be one of their 2,800 slaves when Moshiach returns. Thus saith the Talmud. The international bankers enabled the German high command to evade all the military restrictions placed upon them by the Treaty of Versailles. They don't play by the same rules they set upon the rest of you. Never. The vast Krupp munition and armaments plants built in the Soviets behind the Ural Mountains were named Manich. The German armament firms were granted every concession they asked for. International intrigue on such a lavish scale could only mean one thing. Those involved were preparing for World War II. The governments of the so-called Allied nations were kept fully informed regarding what was going on behind the scenes, as I found out when I visited London during the conference on naval disarmament in 1930. This author was very privy to certain things that most of the public was not. This is only another proof that Disraeli spoke the truth when he said, quote, "The governments elected do not govern," end quote. Thus, history reveals that from 1920 to 1934, the secret power directed international intrigue in such a manner that the leaders of allegedly Jewish-dominated communism in Russia were working hand-in-glove with the leaders of allegedly Aryan-dominated Nazism in Germany. This phase of history is most complicated. It is difficult for the average citizen to understand. Communism and Nazism have several things in common. Both are atheistic creeds which deny the existence of Almighty God. They both advocate war, hatred, and force, as opposed to Christ's policy of peace, love, and teaching. The leaders of both atheistic, materialistic ideologies must therefore be agents of the devil. They further the diabolical conspiracy to win the souls of men away from the loyalty and obedience to Almighty God, Yahweh. They both use a form of Grand Orient Masonry for proselytizing purposes. And this is, of course, the author's words. I have a different take on what happened in the Third Reich, but that's for another show. One thing's for certain, they did not go with God. And that, my friends, is why the British were so successful. They had days of prayer to God during that war, despite the wicked men at the helm of their military might. Prayer is powerful, my friends. The head of the Council of 33 is the president of the top executives' Council of 13, previously referred to, because the initiating ceremonies of all Grand Orient Lodges require the candidate to swear he will acknowledge no other mortal as above the head of the organization, that head is automatically God on earth. The international bankers have always been the top executives of the Grand Orient Masonry since 1770. Warlords have always been the top executive of the German lodges. They select their own successors. A review of history from 1914 to 1934 indicates, number one, that the international bankers fomented World War I to bring about conditions favorable for revolutionary action and thus enable them to obtain undisputed control of the Russian Empire. Number two, to remove the crown heads of Europe. These rulers had to be removed before either group could achieve their totalitarian ambitions. And three, very important, to force the British and French governments to agree to establish a national home for the Jews, or Edomites, Canaanites, in Palestine. The government of Britain was forced to aid the international bankers' plan for the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia in 1917 in order to obtain their promise that they would bring America into the fold of war on the side of the Allies. It can be assumed that the SS Lusitania was sunk to provide the necessary incident to justify the changer of American policy, just as the false flag Pearl Harbor attack was used as an excuse for America to enter World War II. Both are accurate. Both were fomented by these same said factions, the Jewish cabal, the synagogue of Satan. The original draft of the mandate on Palestine reads, quote, to turn Palestine into a national home for the Jews. It was altered at the last minute to read, to establish a national home for the Jew in Palestine. It was done to conceal the secret ambitions of the Zionists. The international bankers deliberately concealed the truth regarding the vast mineral deposits that geologists had discovered in Palestine until after the governments of Britain, France, and the United States had agreed to their mandate of Palestine. The international bankers used Zionism to obtain control of a centrally located sovereign state from which they could extend the control they now exert over the USSRs to cover the entire world. The international bankers and the conspirators managed international affairs between 1921 and 1934 so that Europe was divided into two camps, fascist and anti-fascist, in preparation for World War II. And that, my friends, sums up what they have always done and how they have gotten brother to fight brother in wars that benefit neither. Neither. Think of a war that Americans have benefited from. Really benefited from. Or even won, for that matter. As this title of this book says plain, we are all pawns in the game. Whose game? Satan's game? He's been doing this since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, where he convinced Eve to sleep with him. It wasn't like Macintosh says, with the apple being bitten. That is but a symbol or a sigil of their wickedness and their atrocities upon God's creation. And we have fallen so far since that time. But the Bible says it all. You can read right to the end and start at Revelation if you'd like and see what happens. And that is why they don't want you to know who you are, what you are, and who your father really is. Because in it, there is true power. True power. Not these shekels and armaments and disease and pestilence and these weapons of war that they use. That's not true power. They use it to control. But they only have control to kill your body, not your soul. Don't give it to them, folks. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after the break.
No more than two people may gather anywhere without permission. Use only the drug prescribed by your boss or supervisor. Shut up! Be happy! Obey all orders without question. The comfort you've demanded is now...
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorney. Shut up. Do not attempt.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Freedom Ministry on RBN, and I am your host, Chris Switzer. We've covered a lot of ground today. A lot of ground. And you should know who Yahweh's people are. And also, who these Jews are. In the Truth Movement, now I'm reading from Henry Mackow's website, henrymackow.com, an article from October 2016 titled Satanists, Jews, Are Edomites. In the Truth Movement, we often refer to the conspiracy as Masonic Jewish. This is accurate, but I think it is important to know that within the Jewish people, there are strains of non-Jewish peoples who have been converted to Judaism. And according to Josephus in Antiquities of the Jews, around 100 BC, John Hyrcanus converted the Edomites to Judaism. The Edomites were the offspring of Esau. God had warned the Jews not to mix with the Edomites. In Kings, 2 Kings 25, the Edomites helped the Babylonians destroy the first temple. Once Hyrcanus converted the Edomites, they became influential in Jerusalem among the scribes, Pharisees, and the Roman government. The mixture of the Romans and Edom is described in the book of Jasher, and the mixing between the Jews and Edomites is documented in the 1925 edition of the Jewish Encyclopedia. Josephus also implied that many Pharisees and influential people were Edomites. Herod was an Edomite. They usurped the top positions in the tribe of Judah and secretly wished to exterminate the true Jewish people. Sabbatai Zevi, the Satanic Messiah of 1666, called his religion the Holy Religion of Edom. In the doctrine of Sabbatai Zevi and his successor Jacob Frank, biblical law no longer applies because the Messiah, or Zevi, had come. Now a new Torah was in effect. And today, folks, when you hear anybody in Israel, Palestine, of course, where they call it Israel today, talk about their religion, the Torah, they are not talking about the Christian Bible. This is what they're talking about. The new commandment was to commit sin and reverse the Ten Commandments. In a book written by Jacob Frank called Collection of the Sayings of the Lord Jacob Frank, Frank rambles on about various occult subjects and praises Edom. In saying 251 from the book, he says, "When you are worthy to come to Esau Edom, you will feel joy as never before." In saying 590, Frank says, "There are gods on the earth, but you cannot see them. They are the ones who tell people to do all kinds of abominable things." In saying 2153, Frank says, "I tell you, only Esau and Edom comprise the good of all worlds. I see that the time is near. For this reason, I tell you, my help will come from Edom." Jacob Frank and the Rothschilds follow this satanic doctrine. Financial help did in fact come from the Rothschilds, who accepted this doctrine. The Edomites had always worshipped demons. They do it at the Wailing Wall, the Roman Wailing Wall. The six-point star was a symbol which was used for this purpose, that Rembrandt star. It is also the Rothschild coat of arms. Rothschild means red shield, and Edom means red. Folks, that's all we have today. Go to God. Thank you for listening to RBN. God bless you.
Without permission, use only the drug prescribed by your boss or supervisor. Shut up! Be happy! Obey all orders without question. The comfort you've demanded is now
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
are listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.